President Bush said yesterday, "We stand ready to help with the people of Iran." The United States has no official ties with Tehran, but the State Department is expected to announce an aid package. Iran is one of several countries at or near the center of U.S. foreign policy in 2003. We'll be talking about the year in international relations with Ellen Lapson, president of the Henry L. Stimson Center in Washington, D.C. Thanks very much for joining us.
Glad to be here, Scott.
The United States has captured Saddam Hussein toward the end of the year. At the same time, overseas, there are still people who say, but it has not, U.S. and British forces have not found weapons of mass destruction. Does this continuing lack of not finding the weapons of mass destruction undercut what I think we can agree was the centerpiece of U.S. foreign policy over the past year?
I think the question of whether this was a just war will linger beyond even the terms of Prime Minister Blair and President Bush. I think it really raises some profound questions in the age of greater transparency that we live in. When is a war that is not precipitated by a hostile act of an adversary justified, and when is it not? So the question of weapons of mass destruction and the failure to find them, I think the failure to find WMD has sort of long-term consequence, and the short-term consequence is raising questions about intelligence performance, among other things.
You know, U.S. and Great Britain negotiated an accord with Muammar Gaddafi and Libya that provides for the elimination of his developing weapons of mass destruction. Can this fairly be judged as the direct result of U.S.-British policy in Iraq?
Well, we'll have to ask Gaddafi, but my impression is that Gaddafi has been trying to normalize his relations with the outside world and with the U.S. in particular for quite some time. It may be that in a post-Saddam environment, we were in a more receptive mode, but a lot of people will have a bit of heartburn about the idea of normalizing relations with a leader like Gaddafi.
And what does this say about the prospects of the same kind of agreement with, let's say, another state like Syria that's often been mentioned as a concern in the area?
It will be interesting to see the Syrians and Egyptians. One little short wave that we've seen just in the last week or so, Syria and Egypt earlier this week called on Israel to declare that it no longer needed nuclear weapons. We've created a little bit of momentum about countries in the region perhaps revisiting whether they really need these nasty weapons or not.
Iran might be added to that list as well.
Iran should be on the list because Iran, again, in late December, finally signed the additional protocol with the IAEA, the International Agency for Atomic Energy, which gets it much closer on a path of clearing up any concerns there had been about unreported Iranian nuclear activity.
Mm-hmm. At the same time, this week, Pakistan acknowledged, let me read this quote carefully, that rogue scientists driven by personal ambition and greed had transferred nuclear technology to Iran. Where do you see this story going?
Pakistan has long been suspected of being not only a receiver of proliferation activity, but a secondary proliferator, if you will. So this is a critical story. I think the IAEA's investigations into Iran put Pakistan in the limelight, and Pakistan realized it had no options left. It could not be in denial any longer.
As the year 2003 comes to a close, we are under orange alert once again. Can I ask you, Ms. Lapson, to venture a judgment as to, at the end of this year, which saw the war in Iraq, is the United States and the rest of the world safer from terrorism than it was a year ago?
We are probably marginally safer because we've become more disciplined ourselves in how we protect our territory, how we examine people who want to come in. But I think that the question of getting to the underlying causes of why there are terrorists and why young people join the Al-Qaeda movement is a long-term effort that will take perhaps as long as a generation to deal with. Regrettably, I think terrorism is going to be a near-permanent feature of our lives for at least the years to come, and we'll just have to get smarter and perhaps not talk about it quite so much, but alter our behavior in ways that will provide some added security.
Ms. Lapson, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Ellen Lapson directs the Henry L. Stimson Center, speaking with us in our studios.